Hi, everyone. Welcome to the CEO Speaker Series. I'm Kaden Vitterini, the CEO and founder of Bitfactor, your host. And today we're joined by Brian Brenner, a National Executive Advisory Board member and a seasoned entrepreneur, business advisor with over 25 years of experience helping organizations grow through strategic planning, total rewards, and workforce innovation. He is the founder of First Person, a consulting firm focused on employee benefits and organizational strategy, which was acquired by NPF in 2021. Brian now serves as a managing director at NFP, where he supports businesses nationwide. In addition to his leadership in the private sector, Brian serves on several non-for-profit and education boards, including Butler University, the Indy Chamber, and the Progress House. His cross-sector experience brings valuable insights to the SCLA Executive National Advisory Board. This series is all about asking leaders what they wish they knew when they were in college. Let's get right into it. So let's start with your path from student to CEO. Tell us maybe a little bit about that path, maybe your first job, major career decision, just overall leadership milestone.
Sure, absolutely. Maybe to start, I went to college as a first in my family to attend a four-year institution and really did not know how to navigate college or the career world. So I kind of fumbled my way through in some ways and got lucky in other ways and maybe made some good decisions. I graduated from Butler University about 30 years ago. I was a journalism and public relations double major. And so I had an organizational mindset around communication, how people think, how people make decisions. And I really was just looking for, frankly, any job that would pay me enough money to live and get started. I got lucky and I found my first job doing what they labeled as marketing work. It was actually inside of an insurance company type of arrangement, type of company that helped employers with their benefit programs. And I really ended up doing a lot of different things like project management, data analytics, supporting our consulting team and our sales team as they tried to sell new business into the company. And that's where I cut my teeth and started to learn.
Yeah,
which is a great start, Kaden. It was fun to, you know, just get in the workforce and get my feet wet and go from there.
So it sounds like this wasn't always the plan. You just kind of figured it out as you went.
Yeah, I mean, I was a journalist by training. I don't know if I ever thought I would be a journalist, but I do love, like, you know, being curious, looking for the story and thinking through, you know, why things work, how they work, and why things are the way they are and how to make it change. And so, but I thought marketing would be a way to make better money than like journalism. So I got into the corporate world and that's how it all started.
Yeah. So thinking back to yourself as a college student, what's a myth about success you believed in college and what was that actual reality?
I think the myth was that you needed to know what you were doing and you needed to have a plan, specific plan, right? Like I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. And some people have that. That's great. And it works out for some people that way. But I think most people, and my experience was, I didn't have that specific plan. I believed if I did hard work, you know, made connections, you know, tried to really learn the material and think things through, make connections from one discipline to another, that I would be able to be successful and make a path for myself.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you've had a lot of success, you know, in the past 30 years since graduating. So if you right now could go have a one-on-one conversation with your college self, what's one thing you would tell him?
I would tell him to relax, take a deep breath, trust that if you put one foot in front of the other and you try to be diligent and thoughtful and caring, that things will always work out. Mm-hmm. I would also say to him, you have more to offer than you think you have, and believe in yourself. And I would also say, learn from other people and watch how they work and how they position themselves. My ex-spouse would always say, which was a really helpful thing. She was a musician by training and she taught me the idea that musicians tend to first emulate someone that they think they could be like, that they like the style or the sound of the voice or the sound of their instrument. And they try first to mimic it. And then they find their own voice and their own pet. So I think that's a great piece of advice for professionals as well. find people you like that make sense to you, that you feel like they do it the way you would. Start to mimic that, follow them, get their tutelage, and then you'll find your own path and your own voice, and then someone else will mimic you.
Yeah, that's so good. I wish I knew that a couple years ago. I just graduated, but knowing that as a freshman would have been awesome. And there's going to be a lot of college students watching this, and some are just maybe beginning their college journey, and some of you are graduating next semester. So looking towards their career a little. So what's one major obstacle or challenge that you personally faced early in your career? How did you overcome?
One of my biggest challenges was the lady that hired me for that first job. I really liked, and we had lunch together, and then I got hired, and I showed up my first day, and she wasn't there. She had gone on family medical leave, which wasn't even really a thing back then. It was due. Every morning, we didn't know if she was coming back or not, and we would find out in the morning. And it was always, she's not coming back, she's not coming back, she's not. So I didn't have a supervisor. And so I had to connect with a peer who did a similar role, but she'd been there a little longer. Her name was Pam, and she took me under her wing, and she sat with me and taught me. She was very analytical, very process-oriented, so, and I'm not, but it was great because she taught me how to do the job, and she gave me the connections internally and how things work. And then I started meeting other leaders and others within the company and really had to pave my own path. And so I think maybe the advice would be flexible. Don't worry about that kind of thing in terms of, gosh, now I can't do this, or I'm going to somehow be lost. There are plenty of ways to orient yourself to the work. And if you're thoughtful and ask people for help, they'll help you. People want you to be successful. So that was an interesting learning early on of how to be autonomous and create my own paths and use the resources around me without waiting on someone to tell me next.
Yeah, I love how you kind of adapted and realized, that supervisor wasn't there. So you found a leader that has had more experience and kind of went to her and started some different things. So was it like the mindset shift in that moment? Like, what kind of helped you keep going during that time?
Yeah, for me, I think it worked so well because I now know I became an entrepreneur. I have a high sense of autonomy. I like independence. I like to be able to just see something and go and grab it and learn and wrangle it and figure it out, master it. So for me, it kind of worked better than maybe having a supervisor that would have maybe piecemealed it or spoon-fed me. I grew much faster. I liked it a lot more. I had a great first experience. So I think the advice would be kind of go with the flow, find your path. Don't be afraid to step out and make it work.
So was there like a specific moment or decision that dramatically changed your career path from, working in the corporate field to becoming an entrepreneur, or anything that you can specifically remember that changed your career path?
Absolutely. So I got married very young out of college, and my father-in-law was an independent insurance agent. And it turned out that this company I'd gotten a job with was a vendor partner of his. He had business there. And I didn't know that getting the job. It just so happened. And as he started to see my work there and how much I liked it and how well I was doing, he said, why don't you come over and I'll give you a loan at Prime Plus One and you can start your own business doing consulting work in this same space. You can work with the company you've been working with as a vendor like I do. And he hired a consultant that helped us figure that out. I, through that, did a series of analyses on my personality and my style and my capabilities, my wants and like versus, maybe being told what kind of jobs. And it opened up my eyes that I had a capacity to build a business and to be out there and create a market. And that's how my career started as an entrepreneur. I didn't know what an entrepreneur was, and I had never looked at a profit and loss statement ever. I was a journalist by training. But I started a business and I figured out what a P&L was, and I made market and I grew from there.
So looking back to that moment, would you do anything differently, or are you glad you took that risk?
So glad I took the risk. I don't think I would have done anything differently. I don't even think I could have, because I didn't know what I didn't know. What I trusted was my own ability to work hard and succeed. And I trusted my father-in-law's guidance, obviously that was a gift to have someone take interest in me and say, I think you can do that.
Yeah. So, you know, seeing how a lot of things are shaping and, you know, all the new things coming up, what do you think, like, is one of the biggest challenges that students face today and the college?
You know, I was part of a think tank here in Indiana that was trying to tackle the problem of matching up college students to job, right? And there's a lot of friction in that process. And the thing they found was there were some 90 titles that were being used by different companies for what they were recruiting for. And they basically were able to boil that down using like AI and technology to like 7 actual types of roles. And so I think the challenge is sometimes the words and the noise that gets developed because every company is doing their own thing. At the end of the day, there's only like 7 or 8 kind of different things in the corporate world anyway, that people start out in: data analytics, project management, account management. I mean, there's only so many things. And so I think trying to find someone that can help you sort that down to know which of the 7 you would like or not like or likely be good at or not be good at would really cut out a lot of the noise for people. I don't know exactly how you do that in the market, but I think that's an interesting concept to say there actually aren't that many paths to start. Pick a path versus get caught in all that titling.
Yeah, that's good. I love, you know, the different paths that you kind of just mentioned there. So any advice that you have for navigating that challenge, or maybe how could they find that path that fits them?
I think working inside your universities to find mentors and people who understand that, who've worked in the corporate world as well. Maybe they're not just academics for life, but they're people who've worked in the corporate world. I think, you know, using internships and work experience opportunities to connect with people who understand all of that and can help give you tutelage, family, friends, you know, people in the community that do corporate jobs. I would say those are all places where people could help you navigate that and try to simplify it, as well as help connect you with their network, which is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, I always say networking is everything, right? It's who you know nowadays. And of course, you know that being an entrepreneur, Brian. We're going to change it up a little bit, do a little different direction here. We're going to do a pick a question. So I'm going to have you pick a number 1 through 5. You won't know the question until you choose. Like that. Two questions here. Pick your number and I'll let you know which one you selected.
Pressure. Number 3.
One thing college didn't prepare you for?
Living a private life and doing that well. Things like how to deal with money, marriage, kids, community engagement, all those things.
And if you would have known that, like going a little bit deeper into this question, like how do you think it would have helped you? Like if you had some advice, you know, for college students that are navigating through some of those challenges right now, how could you prepare them as a college student?
I think it's connecting with other types of organizations versus just your academics. So it's participating in campus activities or leadership opportunities. I think it's going outside, you know, religious organizations or philanthropic organizations or business community organizations. It's finding your way into those paths. So again, you can find a broad variety of people that you can begin to mimic so that you find your own path, your own voice. But I think you've got to go to the academic world sometimes to get that.
Yeah. And now we're going to do a lightning round. So I'm going to ask you 6 questions and I'm going to get answered about, you know, minute and a half. So
okay.
Ready for this?
Ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
Your favorite college class?
Change and tradition. It was 2 semesters and each semester you studied 3 cultures from a moment in time, and you read material and you looked at their history and read books of that time, and you basically figured out what made that moment in time what it was and how it worked, which was a window to how life worked every day and every season.
That's awesome. I like that. Go to coffee order.
3 shots of espresso over ice.
There we go. Best
book. Maybe twice a day.
Okay. So 6 total.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's your best book or podcast recommendation?
Podcast, my favorite right now is 10% Happier by Dan Harris. And he does a lot of work on like internal work, meditation, health habits, yeah, healthy eating, etc. I really like that podcast. My favorite book ever is Built to Last by Jim Collins, and I've actually got to meet him, and I brought him to Indiana. But it's the idea of like, what are those enduring principles that make the best companies the best companies?
Okay, cool. I'll check that out. Your best productivity.
I make lists on paper and electronically.
Yeah.
I have multiple ways of doing it, and it's not necessarily a science. It's a little bit of an art, but I once read that there was a Harvard Business Review study that showed that the most successful people, if they were equally educated and equally smart, the ones that made lists were by far much more successful. And so every day, every week, every month, every year, I'm making different kinds of lists, your big picture, small picture, minutia, and I love to check them off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, being an entrepreneur, there's so much going on. You can't remember everything. So you got to write that down. And then, you know, when you see it, Brian, you got to get it done. So
especially once you turn 50, it especially you can't remember it. So the word of the wise. Yeah.
Yep. Your dream mentor, he or she could be dead or alive.
My grandfather, who is deceased, and he was my best mentor. He believed in me. He wrote me the most kind notes about two things. One is you can succeed and do anything. Don't ever not believe in yourself. And secondly, if it's too much, admit it and seek help. And it's okay.
Yeah, that's so good. And sorry for your loss. And I'm glad you chose him as a mentor.
Thank you.
What you do every day that helps you stay grounded?
Several things. I drink a big thing of water before I have my coffee as a treat. It's my hydration going. I write in a journal and read a little snippet of a poetry book every day that just sort of centers me and helps me think about what matters.
Yeah.
And I have a whole host of health habits that I also follow each day, but those are two big ones.
Yeah. Healthy mind and body. It's very, very valuable. And last couple questions here. So what are three traits, habits, or skills that helped you go from a student to a successful CEO?
One is curiosity, for sure. Wanting to understand things. Two is hard work. Just getting after it and staying after it. And thirdly, I think is connecting dots. I like to like that change in tradition class, like the connecting dots from one point in history to another, or connecting dots between different academic areas of expertise or different things going on in the business. It's seeing the threads that connect things that help me solve problems.
Okay. And what's one last piece of advice that you have for students who want to lead or become even more of a leader?
I think it's be genuine and be kind. The world is full of people who want to lead out with a sense of confidence and strength and sometimes almost negative energy. And I think there's so much value to just being open-handed, thoughtful, kind, wanting to make sure everybody finds a way to win. I think when you do that, you get accepted in lots of doors and opportunities that you wouldn't otherwise, and life is good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much value in this. And last question here, if students could only remember 10 seconds of this interview, what should it be?
Believe in yourself and find a great mentor.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brian. And thanks to everyone who is watching. If something resonated with you today, share it with a friend or mentor. These conversations are meant to inspire action and change. We'll see you next time on the CEO Speaker Series. Thanks again, Brian.
Thanks, Caden.